Pittsburgh's morning sickness.
You've been deceived by an agent of Satan himself. He's evil.
Sitting right here. Come on.
No, no, he's not evil. He's just a bit rude.
98 KUPD.
Are they supposed to wear out or something? That's my favorite question about a cover. Have you still got it? I don't know why they got me so bad. The metal god is here. Rob Alford is joining us. My God. Oh, my God. I got to get you on there. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Great to be back in the Big Red Radio.
Yeah, you're back at KUPD. It's good to have you here. And the weirdest thing's about to happen is we're about to talk to our vasectomy doctor, and you can help us. The metal god can help us.
Really?
Now, you don't really have
interesting.
You don't really have a need for a vasectomy, do you?
No, but I could still go into that little room with the magazine and, you know. Put some on.
Throw some product around.
Yeah, you put some down. Have you ever put any down?
No, but this is an inspiration. Do you get paid for it?
You can, yeah. Did you ever want kids?
Yeah, I would love to have kids. And is it ever too late in life to have kids? I don't know.
You know? I thought it was.
I think there's a couple of people, that, you know, like Tony Rand.
Yeah, but everybody talks about that.
You know,
Charlie
Elton.
Chaplin.
Elton's like, didn't Elton turn 70? Or
he's got
70?
Like,
right. A beautiful boy. So, you know, it's a better world in that area.
I don't
got a way to go. But who knows? Maybe we should have some little metal gods running around. You know,
do you really want to be like...
Big bucks for that.
Metal god rugrats.
Do you be like 80 with teenagers, though?
Ugh. Yeah, but I'd be on some kind of medication.
That's true. You'd be numb to it.
Are these kids mine? Do they belong to me?
Well, let's welcome Dr. Lynn onto the show. The weirdest combination of guests maybe in the history of radio, which is Rob Halford, and Dr. Lynn, the guy who gave me my vasectomy, which was a fantastic experience. Are you there, Dr. Lynn?
Yes, I am. And unfortunately, I cannot confirm nor deny that I did a vasectomy on you.
You can't? Why?
For privacy reasons.
Oh, well, what if I'm not private about it? I'm telling everybody.
Well, I know you're telling everybody about it, but I can speak theoretically about vasectomies.
Oh, I see. So you,
for your privacy. You
may or may not. That's not very supportive, so you may or may not have had a vasectomy.
Yeah, I know. I'm very uncomfortable on whether or not this happened. Now.
What about removing kidney stones, doctor?
Yeah, can you talk to Brady about that?
We can. We can talk in general about kidney stones, you bet.
Have you ever listened to Rob Halford, the metal god, and considered his testicles
Judas Priest.
At any point?
The metal testicles?
Yes, that's it. You have medical. Would you like metal testicles?
That
would
make
you.
I've had metal testicles all my life. That's why I can sing so high. But, you know, they do this kidney therapy where there's a vibrating noise that breaks your kidney.
Breaks your stones up.
Just let me scream on your. On your area.
Oh, it might work.
Let me scream you've on the,
tried
on
this
the
before.
Area.
You've tried this before.
And dissolve your kidney stones.
I fell for that
notes.
Last
yeah,
time.
Yeah. I've fallen for that five times and I still had stones. Dr. Lynn, we cannot confirm or deny that one of our listeners is coming to you today. And he told me, he said he only has one testicle because when he was a teenager, he had cancer in one of his testicles and had it removed. And he thinks he should get a discount for his vasectomy today. And you say no and tell me why that's true.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of the payment stuff is dictated by insurance.
Dictated.
And we have to obey by the rules of the insurance companies, unfortunately. So believe it or not, the procedure code for vasectomy covers one or both sides.
Huh.
So whether you do it one side or both sides, it's still the same CPT
one
code.
Unit price.
All right, here's an argument to that.
One
though.
Unit price.
What if a man with three testicles, and Rob can attest to this, you've seen this before.
I've seen many testicles.
Yeah, what if a man with three testicles comes in, you would charge him extra, wouldn't you?
Well, I will.
See?
I probably will not. But if the, I've never, so as the exterminator, someone who has done tons of vasectomies. As a matter of fact, I'm not aware of anyone who does more vasectomies in Arizona. This year, I'll probably perform over 800 vasectomies. But I have never seen anyone with three testicles where I have to perform vasectomy on three vas deferens. So I guess I will.
That's a band name.
I will figure it out.
Three testicles.
The vas deferens. Rob, send him a picture of those testicles you showed me. And you're on, Dr. Lynn. You would not charge extra for a third or superfluous testicle?
I would have to see how difficult it will be. Most likely, if it's a straightforward vasectomy, it's just a straightforward vasectomy.
But let's just say, hypothetically, one of our listeners with just one nut comes in. It would be a nice gesture to give them like 20% off.
If I did, it would be probably insurance fraud. I would be in breach of my...
I know. Insurance companies. But
the good news is you can up one to four testicles is one unit price.
That's right. It's one big price.
Yeah. Over that, it might get a little complicated.
Bulk rate.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, that's good. And I also have a procedure I'm doing later today I needed to talk to you about. I just took a bite of an apple, and I'm going under anesthesia in about 5 hours. Should I be all right?
What happened?
Well, somebody handed me an apple and I forgot and I took a bite and I'm not supposed to eat.
Oh, okay, got it. NPO, nothing by mouth.
Right.
Prior to your procedure.
What does that mean? Well, Rob, explain that to me. What's nothing by mouth?
All these questions in my direction. I love this show.
What does nothing by mouth mean to you, Metal God?
Nothing by mouth.
All I know is spit or don't spit. So.
I'm sorry. Dr. Lynn, I'm not supposed to eat anything, but I took a bite of an apple and I threw it up, so I should be good, right?
Oh, yeah, if you did not swallow, then it's all good.
That's what I'm saying right there. Dr. Lynn's on top of everything. Well, there you go.
If in doubt, don't swallow.
So that's the advice you give me right there. And if I aspirate or die today, I can or cannot sue you. I can't confirm either thing.
I can neither confirm nor deny. Yeah, there you go.
How many procedures are you going to do today?
You know, I didn't really look, but usually we have quite a few every single day.
No kidding. Now, after a long time of doing this, and Rob, I think this, Mr. Halford, you could answer this too. After seeing so many testicles in your life, is there a certain point where you're just kind of like, man, I'm not even impressed by anything anymore?
Oh.
No.
Even in my life, I've been impressed.
Yeah, still, after all this time.
Yes, just, you know, wow.
Sometimes there's one that just still gets you.
I think if you run into, like the guy that we were talking about earlier this week, Tank.
Yeah, the guy with steroid injections. Dr. Lynn, are you ever jealous of one of your patients?
Oh, no. I think penises and scrotums come in all shapes and sizes.
Thank God.
And believe it or not, there's always a slight variation among the patients. Sometimes the scrotum can be a little tighter. Sometimes they're a little looser. Sometimes they're a little thicker. And the contents can be easily palpable. Like I could easily feel whatever's inside them sometimes. But then sometimes they have a lot of literally junk inside the scrotum.
What do you mean?
So it's a little bit more difficult. Well, for guys who are a little overweight, they have an abundance of stuff all around the body, including down in the scrotum.
So sometimes it's difficult. Fat balls?
Sort of. not necessarily the testicle itself, but the stuff around the testicle, and around the spermatic cord.
Oh, it gets a little chubby.
You know, I actually think I have one of those.
You got a fat nut?
Yeah, I got. I do have a thick nut. You put my mind at rest because, you know, there is a kind of a little bit serious side of this with testicle cancer. Guys, feel your balls.
Oh, yeah.
Feel your nuts, you know?
Yeah.
But thank you because I think my right one has a lot of vegetation around it. You know, it's a bit like a forest down there and you feel it. But so you put my mind at rest.
That
so
inside
this is
great. You feel
all these bonuses on your show.
Yeah, this is the way we bring you in. Just that we try to teach you something medical
now,
and then we'll talk about your
record.
Every
time I'm here, I learn something new.
So you're saying that you feel your balls and then one of them feels like there's something
growing
on it?
Yeah, the one on the right feels like there's a lot of this extra stuff around it.
You're right-handed, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, for everything.
I don't know what that means.
So that's pretty cool, Doctor.
Interesting. You're comfortable.
Free info. I'm comfortable.
Should he be comfortable with that, or should he get that checked out, Dr. Lynn?
Well, let me just put it this way: as you know, when you go to a sex worker, they do what's called a dick check. Believe it or not.
No kidding.
I learned about this through a podcast. So I pride myself in that I perform more dick checks than a prostitute every single day.
Oh, God, what a job. I'm changing my profession.
Go ahead. When in doubt, certainly have someone who has a lot of experience in dick checks check you out.
Right. I shall come and see you then in that case.
Yeah.
And then when I come back on your show, I'm bug.
You give us an update on how to do it. Can you sing metal music, Dr. Lynn? Because I think we could make a swaparoo here for jobs.
no, but I can definitely try and scream like a lot of rockers.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, you're making people scream like crazy. Keep up the good work of sterilizing society. I've seen it, and it's not good.
Yes, got everybody spayed and neutered.
Yeah, neuter yourselves, people. We've seen what happens, and it's called Gila Bend. Nobody needs more of that, right?
Oh my gosh! Well, not only do I do a lot of vasectomies, I also deal with prostate issues, and I also try to make America pee again.
There we go.
Oh wow! Yeah. 4 or 5 times a night, me.
Well, that's really many. That's too many.
I've done everything. You know, no, don't drink after 9 p.m. and all that kind of stuff.
Is that something the metal god should worry about, Dr. Lin? He's peeing 5 times a night.
Well, you may want to talk to a urologist, buddy.
You're talking to one right now.
I'll get you, Dr. Lin.
It's not big peas. It's like little peas.
Oh, no kidding. You get little like squirts and then like, oh, no.
It's more than a squirt, but I mean.
It's like an 8 or 9 second.
It's a blaster. It doesn't dribble. I've never been a dribbler. I've always been a shooter. You know. So,
hey, how can Dr. Lin? That's a good question that the metal god brings up. How can I go from being a guy who just looks like it's just blopping out to being one of those porn star types that's just firing shots?
Are you talking about the ejaculate?
Yes.
Okay. You're being dirty, but all right.
Well, that is. I think a lot of guys will abstain from sexual activity for a long time
just to have that happen. Because
we call that a zinc buildup.
But I've read that on the internet that for a healthy prostate, you should masturbate regularly. Is that right, doctor? If you're not having sex.
There was one study a few years ago which suggested that increase in sexual activity. Is associated with the decreased risk of prostate cancer.
You got to exercise that prostate.
We all need more sex.
Yeah, so we all should be humping and jerking a lot more.
To be healthy.
I think a healthy sex lifestyle is always a good thing.
Amen.
Like Masters and Johnson said in the 1970s, right? If you don't use it, you lose it.
That's right. And is that true? I will lose it if I don't start tugging it more often?
Yeah, well, the penis is just like any organ. You want to keep it in regular use. You get blood flow going in and out of it, and the more you exercise it, the more compliant it becomes or it stays so that you stay functional.
The Bowflex has really helped mine.
Yeah, I exercise mine. Right. Mine's like Lou Ferrigno. I exercise with it constantly. I can't stop. Well, Dr. Lin, always a pleasure. And tell the listener that may or may not be visiting you today, there's nothing you can do about it. It's insurance.
Yes, and I will definitely explain that to him. Hey, you know what? Today, this month is breast cancer awareness. So I tell my patients that you should check your balls once a month.
Yeah.
Right? And you can play with your significant other. You can check her boobs once a month, and then she can check her scrotum once a month. It's a fair trade, and it's good for everybody. It's good for breast cancer, and for my young guys, they can check out their testicles and scrotum and show everything. And you know, you never know. Good things may happen from this.
And you're just looking like you're looking for like a BB that's on your balls, right?
Well, you want to feel what's normal. You want to feel your testicles. If you feel your scrotum, so you know what normal feels like. And then anything other than that.
A BB, a horn. There's a lot of anything.
Just anything that's not normal, get it checked. Rob's got that foresty type feeling. It's actually kind of pleasant.
It's not unpleasant. It's, you know.
It's nice.
It's just like a mashup on the freeway. It's that kind of, you know, that kind of vibe.
Did you just describe a Tesco as a horrible car crash?
Well, what comes out of it? So,
oh, well, that's true. It's carnage is what it is. Just keep people flying all over. All right, Dr. Lin, thank you very much. Get back to cutting.
All right.
Apologize to your patients.
Thank you, Dr. Lin.
How about that? You show up early, Rob Halford, and you get to be part of this.
I had a testicle checkup on air.
Yeah. When's the last one you had?
First time
you've ever had your testicles checked?
By a doctor. I get them regularly checked.
Yeah, regularly, but by a professional.
In a professional sense, this is probably the first time.
No kidding. So just the first time you've ever asked a doctor questions because you're feeling like everything's okay.
Oh no, I mean, you know, but when one goes to the doctor, you know, you should cover all your parts, all your bits, as we say in the UK.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's
so
tough.
My bits are frequently. Addressed. both professionally and non-professionally.
Informal,
informal, whatever.
You made us do it in the hallway. It's like every interview you do, you have to do a check, right? To make sure the host is healthy, you have to make sure the guest is healthy. I agree completely. Rob Halford is here with us, and congratulations once again, nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And it's a big group this year. It's a tough group. And last year you were in the building when they called you and said not this year.
Yeah, that's right. It's wonderful. It's a great list, but it's sad that there's so many people have not with us. It's like the Rock and Roll Hall of Death.
Yeah, it is. Know? It's all so, in memoriam now.
Which is sad, but it's a beautiful thing. You know, my friend Lemmy and Chris, Soundgarden. And
who do you think is for sure getting it?
I'd have to say Lemmy.
Lemmy's in. Yeah. I think Cornell's in.
I think Cornell's in, definitely.
Whitney?
Yes, I was talking to somebody yesterday about whether Whitney was worthy for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
right.
And my take on it is that, you know, rock and roll is everything.
Yeah.
And because of what it stands for and what it represents, then Whitney's got a place in there.
It's an attitude more than it is a musical genre.
Exactly. Yeah,
right?
That's what we're saying.
So, but I mean, and in that regard, I think maybe the argument for Whitney gets weaker.
Yeah, it does.
You know,
it does because, well, how that woman could sing and, you know, all the other drama in her life.
Right.
So, I mean,
she was living the rock and roll life.
She was. She was a.
There's no doubt about
was
it.
Like she was like the Lady Lemmy.
Yeah, and she was Lady Lemmy, which Lady was her Lemmy. Nickname. People didn't know. the comedian Ralphie May, I don't know if you're familiar with him, used to have a small black suitcase he called Whitney Houston because it was little and filled with pills. And he's and like everybody kind of laughed at it. He's like, you'll see. And he was right. It was bad. Uh-huh. But you're right. Notorious B.I.G., Whitney Houston, Lemmy. Who Chris. Else? There? Was Chris. There's another one.
Was Lemmy just to the times that you hung out with him, just to the next level? It's like, as far as when you're, whether it's drinking or something. It's
impervious. Before I cleaned up my act, I had my Jack and Coke with Lemmy on many occasions, but he to me was the personification of rock and roll, living the life by your rules, you know.
Yeah.
And the voice, the music, just the look of the man, you know. And you'd go walking down Sunset to the Rainbow or whatever.
Where he was.
People would
always.
Like. He was. Yeah. That was Lemmy. That was Mr. Rock and Roll.
Yeah. There was no mistaking certain people, you included, that if I saw you and didn't know, I would know you're in a band. You're playing something, and you're probably like in a successful.
I was thinking not when neurologist.
Not when I was pushing my trolley around fries yesterday.
No one noticed.
Bread section.
Do you do that? You do your own shopping?
Of course I do. Yeah.
Why does the metal god not have somebody shop for
one? Has to have balance.
We gotta film that.
I want to shop.
Let's
with
go
you.
Shopping.
I want to shop with Rob.
I put a little clip. You know, in today's world, you're being filmed and photographed wherever you go, and it's the same in fries. So. There's a bit where you do the exit, and there's a big screen, like, for your personal safety and to improve your shopping experience, you're on this screen. So there's a big, huge, 50-foot screen. You can see yourself shopping.
Right.
Or checking out, especially the self-checkout.
Right.
So I put a bit of that on my phone and put it on my Instagram, and everybody lost their mind, you know. Don't you have a person to do that for you?
Isn't it weird that that's what people think? People think that, though, that you've had this much success, that you couldn't possibly... do your own shopping.
And when you're at Fry's, are you an impulse buy? I mean, like if you see 10 for 10, you're putting
keep me
it
away
in there?
From the Halloween section right now.
Yeah.
Because it's just, that's okay. Not an Amazon Prime impulse.
It's
Mr. Impulse.
I saw a famous person driving once, Michael Richards from Seinfeld. Mm. And then my first thought as a normal person is, why is he driving himself? You just assume you hit this level where you don't do anything anymore.
You're detached.
And
from
is that
humanity.
Kind of, did you think that for a while? Like while you're having, like, while you start getting some success, you're like, well, I'll never have to do a thing. And then it's got to be a little disappointing when the veil's taken off and you're still shopping for bread by yourself.
It's disappointing to some of my fans that meet me when I am shopping because I'm like, is that. And then they drop the jar of pickles. And can I take a picture?
I think I'd be upset if I was in the fries and you walked by and went, hello. I'm like, what the hell is he doing?
Ron Halford yelled at me because we're out of HP sauce.
I've done that at the manager that fries.
You've been mad at him?
Yeah, because, you know, as you get older, the angry old guy, I'm turning into that now, I yell at the TV screen a lot.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's been a couple of instances where I've just gone off, you know, off my metal rocker and just yelled at the, you moved the cheese again, you know. There's a certain kind of cheese that I always have when I make my turkey burgers, because I make a killer turkey burger.
And what's the cheese?
And the it's like a jack and like a spicy kind of cheese.
A pepper jack?
You got to have the pepper jack. So there we I'm looking for the pepper jack, and I cannot find the pepper jack, and I'm looking, you know, when you go to the store, normally you know exactly where everything is. Right. Well, for some unknown reason, they've been doing some changes at my local fry. So I'm looking for my cheese.
The redesign.
Where's the cheese? You know, yelling at the manager. And they were out of that particular brand.
Was he familiar with who he was speaking with?
Probably by now, yes.
Yeah, you know,
I did do a lot of yelling in that particular
store. You're not the metal guy.
It's him again. Everybody run.
You're the lunatic.
Yeah, that crazy guy.
But I would be disappointed as a fan of seeing you walk through the aisles and then be like, oh, things must be tough. Because in my head, I think you're sitting some crystal mountaintop where everybody's handing you chalices of whatever you asked for and your own cheese grows at your feet.
It's like that Wizard of Oz thing where, you know, there's an old guy behind the green curtain.
Yeah, there's something there. And that's disappointing.
Deflating.
Because we as you know, the untalented unwashed, look at you guys like, well, that's the life I'll never have. But it's the same thing.
Exactly.
Even if you looked at the shopping cart and there he is and there's a 30-pound wheel of cheese
in that cart. It doesn't matter. Someone should be bringing that to him. For all he's given us and fans and everything else, someone should be bringing you your own cheese. It disappoints me. I will shop for you from now on.
Did you hear that, APD?
I'll do it.
Okay.
For a while. Until I tire
good
of
for
it.
One trip.
Until I realize that I'm above it.
And then the coupon expires.
And then I'll hire a guy to do it for me to do it for you. It'll just be this long line of everything. One of the 33 greatest voices ever. How do you find that out? Who calls you?
Nobody does. I mean, you generally find out everything about yourself on the internet these days.
Yeah.
You know,
so you didn't even know that you had been named.
Didn't even know. I didn't got a clue.
They threw an honor at you.
Who else?
And why did
who
they stop at 33?
With me?
Yeah. Yeah. They've got. I saw that somebody sent it to me and said one of the 33 greatest voices of all time. I'm like, why? Yeah. Why stop at 33?
Why is it 33?
I don't know.
Not 34 or
I don't know.
Usually it's like 50 or
play off the record or something. I don't know. It's the 33, and there you are. But even being mentioned in that, did you ever?
Makes me not want to shop again.
Yeah, it makes you. This is what I'm getting at. It's like there are 7 billion people on the planet, and you're one of, according to this, 33.
I'm definitely never going
to
shop again.
Yeah, you should never go to Fry's again.
No.
Fry's should just come to you.
They deliver.
They deliver now.
Wait, but you still have to order it. They should know what he wants and just call him. Say, what would you?
My house will be full of cheese.
The loaded with cheese and pepper jack. It's good, though. So it's just one of those things where you just kind of. This moment that happens to you in life where you start getting into this upper echelon of praise and things.
It's a beautiful thing.
It has to be wonderful.
Yeah, it is a beautiful thing, and I relish it. I love it. And you know, it's an inspiration. It's an inspiration to make you do like I'm doing now with this new record that's dropping on, what is it, tomorrow?
Yeah, it's this week, right?
All cool stuff.
And it's all Christmas. It's a holiday
Christmas
record.
Yeah, it's the second holiday record that I've made. I made one about 10 years ago. And I had a blast making this one because I got my brother playing with me on the drums. I got my nephew on bass guitar, son of Ian Bassgod Hill from Priest.
No kidding.
I got my sister doing the little jingle bells.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a family
like the heavy metal Partridge Family.
Where did you record it?
Oh, the Osmonds got Osmonds on crack or something.
Yeah, when you do this stuff, do you sit and write based on, I know you did Hark to Herald Angels, things like that.
Yeah.
You do some of the classic stuff. But do you sit and write specifically with that in mind, or do you have some stuff stored up in the back where you're like, maybe I can make this a Christmas song?
We talked about this like nearly 3 years ago, my brother and my nephew and I, at a Christmas time back in the UK. So it came from that idea. I love watching my brother play and my nephew. So we had an opportunity to work together. So, you know, it's a lot of the Christmas classics, but it's not your typical rock and roll Christmas album.
Right.
Some beautiful stuff. We had Mike Exeter produce it, who just got off the Priest Firepower record, and prior to that, the big Sabbath 13 album. So it's got a big chunk of metal in there, you know.
Yeah.
Good stuff. But
it's not songs you can go caroling, though.
Yeah, why not? Why
not? Well, you get arrested. That's why.
You've heard the Hark the Herald Angels.
You can just play it.
Well, you can do that, but I mean, you do that, you'd fall traditional. I mean, if you want to go scream that at somebody at their doorstep for figgy pudding, you're going to get beat up.
I think this is the way, you know, I've been reminiscing in the old days as kids, we used to go, you know, tapping on the doors for a penny for, a Christmas carol. So now you can tap on the door, beat on the door and scream this, roaring version of Hark the Herald Angels sings, give me some money, bitch. So it all works.
Can we go caroling?
Money.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's go caroling. Yeah, we were supposed to have a Thanksgiving dinner together at some point.
And you bailed out
with
on
he
it.
Whose voice is his voice working
out? He should be here any minute now.
He should be here.
He should be here.
I told him, use your throat for one thing only, and he's talking like this now.
Yeah.
Which is,
I think he's just trying to be
weird, isn't it? Yeah. How long it's lasted?
It's been 7 weeks with Ian's voice this way. And you're right. Use your throat for one thing only, because this talking thing ain't working out for him.
Nah.
So maybe you should start making money.
Second job.
Yeah. What was your childhood like? I always wonder how someone who gets into the metal god world, what were you like as a kid? Was it always something you thought that you were a different type of person who had aspirations different than anyone else? Or were you just kind of the run-of-the-mill kid who found music and it grabbed you?
I think every kid goes through that stage where they discover music for the first time in their lives. You know, and with me particularly, big moment was when my aunt gave me an old record player with some 45s in it, and I was about maybe 8 or 9 years of age, and I opened the lid and there were 3 or 4 singles in there, and one was by Little Richard, one was by Elvis, and one was by Bill Haley and the Comets, and I listened to all of them, and that was it. It was like a catalyst.
You know what's crazy? It's unique to music people that they remember the first few. Like, I remember vaguely the music that got me, and it was the Beatles. I remember my mom had, I think it was Revolver, and I remember hearing that and thinking something was special, and I was young. Frampton Comes Alive was
I was
4 years old.
But mom was so obscure, the Sugarloaf song.
Yeah.
And I was really young. Don't call us, we'll call you. But it just,
but it's weird, though, because it's always something that you guys lock on to. I locked on to it because I liked the music, but you lock on and say, wait a minute. Did it register you right then and there? Like, this is a life I want.
But it also coupled into an experience that I had about a year or so earlier. It's all going in the book, folks. I'm working on the
book.
There you go. So when the school that I was at, they were putting a school choir together, and the schoolmistress had a little piano at the front of the class, and we all had to go and stand up by the piano and sing a song. And it was an old, very old Scottish lullaby lament called "Speed Bunny Boat." So I go up there and I'm singing it a cappella, and when I finish, the kids in the class start clapping, just spontaneously giving me the clap. So I thought, wow, this feels good. And then she took me to another class next door and said, check out this kid's voice. So a combination of all of those things kind of set me on the pathway. And
like 8 or 9. Back.
Yeah,
such a different direction in the music side of it. So at one particular time, all of a sudden you said, now I want to go down this path.
I went through that. I went through it like all musicians do before you commit to some particular genre that really does it for you.
Right.
I went through all that stuff, you know, soul music, especially like the big greats like Al Green.
Yeah,
and help me out to some other.
Oh, I mean, you got Marvin Gaye,
huge Marvin Gaye.
Yeah,
Tina Turner. You know, and then I moved into the Janis Joplin thing, and you know, all the
who was the first rock voice you heard and went, oh,
it's got it. Well, I mean, I always say Little Richard just because, you know, hearing that belting out of the record player at that age, like, what is this incredible voice that, you know, this noise that's coming out that's making me feel this way?
Yeah.
So Little Richard to me, and for a lot of people in music, was an inspiration.
Huge
and an innovator.
Yeah. I saw an article they did with you. I think Yahoo had it on a couple days ago, and it talked about it. Do you get tired of the whole Rob Halford LGBTQ?
No, never. No? Only because, you know,
it seemed to be mentioned constantly.
Yeah, well, you know, there's very few of my kind that do this kind of job.
Yeah.
You know, and metal is still this very big alpha male type of tribal heathen mass that we love to be together enjoying with. So in terms of acceptance and inclusion in the metal community, as we call ourselves, you can't meet a better bunch of people.
Yeah.
But there's still, from, you know, where I stand on certain issues, a long way to go.
Yeah. Is it the fan base? Is it just the music itself, the energy it brings that kind of, it becomes that, I hate the phrase toxic masculinity, but but kind of goes against the idea that you couldn't, you know, it's all chicks and drugs and everything else. So then when you come out and say, yeah, it doesn't have to be that way.
You know, it's moved on now. A lot of bands, a lot of younger bands pull up, and then the first thing they do when they get off the bus is pull out the weights and all the machines that they work out before they go out on stage. In my day, you would, you know, the door would open and a lot of smoke would come out and right. You'd stumble down the steps and
bottles.
Give you a mic and go to work, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a different world in that respect now, and it's a lot healthier in a lot of ways, mentally and psychologically. So yeah,
because I read the article and I was just like, you know, we know already. Like it seemed like the writer continually kept saying he's doing this for this and doing this. I'm like, he's also doing it because he's a human being who loves the music and does a great job with it. And it almost to me is a disservice to how much you've done on top of the fact that gets mentioned every time they bring it up. Like you're that is definitely a torch you carry, but it's something that, you know, also, by the way, the music's been around for an awfully long time. It has nothing to do with that.
The thing is, I'm still kind of invisible in the LGBTQ world.
I mean, yeah, is it accepting of you?
There's very little, you know, I'm not in that thing where you're on the blogs every day or openly discussed, you know. I did see myself on this cool blog called OMG,
yeah.
Oh My God blog.
Yeah.
And there was the reference to Halford wants to be on RuPaul.
That was what I was reading. And you really want to do the drag race?
Yeah, I think it's
a great fun show.
It's incredible. It's just a great show. It's doing a lot of good in a lot of areas, but let's just keep it, you know, focused on what these incredibly talented people do.
Right.
So I want Rue to give them a task to, you know, make them go into that room and make the most hellacious metal outfit that you can wear. And
yes.
I'm sashaying down in front of the judges and I go, woo, you know.
Yes. The metal god judging that, the drag race.
You know, I didn't,
metal.
Wasn't Henry Rollins on that one time.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's been on there.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the thing. It's just, I think kind of melding everything together would make it easier. Because I look at rock shows and my big complaint now is that it's all dudes.
Yeah.
You
complain about it.
I look at it where I'm like, remember when it used to be just this party where everybody showed up and everybody had the same objective? And now you go and it's dudes in black shirts. I think music's done it.
And
a lot of dudes go for the RuPaul show.
Yeah.
And let's face it, what man has not worn a dress?
Fact.
Especially around Halloween. Have either of you guys worn a dress at
plenty
any time
yes.
in your life?
Absolutely.
Halloween or not.
I, as a joke once with an ex-girlfriend, I put one of her dresses on. It didn't fit very well and wanted to surprise her when she came home from work, like, this is what I do when she's not home. And the joke fell flat on its face because she was really, truly concerned that I was just covering for the fact that I was cross-dressing while she was at work. I'm like, no, that was the joke. That was what the fun was, that I wear your clothes when you're not home. She goes, I don't like this.
Mind was
all.
Made up.
No, it was done.
Mind was made up.
Yeah, I didn't have much of a sense.
I knew
of
there was something.
Something's wrong with
something's. Yeah,
we knew that going in. But
in
yeah,
one of our U-Fest, I was Brady Gaga.
Yeah,
we that did. Was
oh,
yeah.
Are there pictures
one,
of that? Are there pictures?
There
of that?
Are.
There's
yeah,
video
there's
of that. There's
video. I should look for that on the internet.
He lip-synced the whole song I wrote for him.
Yes.
It was pretty amazing. Yeah. So the Christmas album. What is the goal with the Christmas album? Is it to become the new White Christmas, the standard bearer, or is it to just have a smash hit out of this thing? What do you want?
All of that. The heavy metal Santa.
Yeah, that's what
it
I want.
Would be great. You know, because we love our metal, and there's a great opportunity here to maybe put it at the top of the Billboard holiday charts.
Yeah.
First metal album ever to do that. That would be very cool.
Nothing's ever done it.
And you don't need to sell a bucket load, you know, just have to have a healthy couple of weeks. And I know my fans are waiting to really charge in there and do it for metal.
Of course.
So that'd be great. And, you know, it's Christmas. We all blast Christmas tunes around that time of year. What do you guys listen to?
Usually it's when Christmas rolls around, I just put some sort of – you know what I start with is always John Lennon or Elton John, and I put it on Pandora, and their Christmas stuff, which is always amazing.
War is over.
For whatever reason, is my favorite Christmas.
Yeah, I like
song.
A lot of the R&B Christmas
yeah.
songs
yeah.
too, and they give me a hard time. John did, especially because
yeah.
I'm like,
well, he's
what
like
if
you,
he did like one of my favorites is This Christmas, but your version of it,
it wouldn't
would be
work.
Interesting.
Okay.
I don't know.
Have you heard it?
Your version of This Christmas.
Oh, have I done this Christmas?
No.
There's a lot of Christmases floating around here, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this
should,
Christmas
have,
is.
Have you heard any of my stuff yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Christmas stuff. Okay, yeah.
We've heard what's available.
It's like a feast. It's a feast.
It is.
The Donner and Blitzen is just a flat-out screamer.
Yeah, and then we just had the Hark the Herald.
Angels.
Very punky, thrashy. And then we got the Morning Star coming along.
Yeah.
Which has a little bit of a tinge towards Willie Nelson. When I wrote that song in the kitchen of my house, I'm starting to think of Willie Nelson as I'm doing the music. Oh, here he is.
Oh, Ian's here. Come on, sit down.
And so, Morning Star. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if Willie Nelson covered this track? So I got my people to just kind of filter it out. And then I get a lovely email from Willie Nelson's granddaughter, who comes to every Priest show when we were around Nashville. And it turns out that the Nelsons are big metalheads.
Is that right? Well, yeah. They like all sorts of stuff. You'd be surprised.
Nelson's granddaughter is 75. Hello, Rob.
That is true. Willie Nelson's granddaughter is not.
Yeah, it was a big dramatic entry.
Yeah. And there's Ian's voice works again.
Ian, you look fabulous.
Thank you. I'm doing well.
Come on. See you.
It was when I lost my voice. I can't remember.
Like 8 or 9 weeks ago then.
Before that though. But yeah, by the way, do you know, I don't think when we were exchanging texts about me having no voice, I didn't tell you that you're partly responsible. Both of you are.
That is very
here's
true.
Here's a story. A while ago, several months ago, John can actually sing pretty well.
Quite well. One of the 34 greatest voices of all time.
On the radio, who works as a radio presenter, I would say. Anyway, he sings in this band and they do covers. And back in the spring, we surprised him because they were supposed to be doing a grunge set. And I got up and did Maiden's 2 Minutes to Midnight. So Ian Maiden became a thing, right? So they're going to do another gig, and the band texts me and go, like, listen, the listeners loved it when you got up. Like, can you come and do something again? We're going to do covers. And I was like, there ain't no Iron Maiden covers. And they said, well, we could do Green Man Alishi.
Ah.
Right? So fast forward to 4th of July. I've got friends round. We're getting very drunk. I've been drinking all day. This was my last day of drinking as well, by the way.
I know.
And it comes to about midnight. And I'm like, listen, I got to do this show next week. And they're like, is Ian Maiden coming out? I'm like, no, it's better. I'm going to do Priest.
Keep in mind, Rob, he's named it Ian Maiden himself. Yes, no one else has called it that.
Yeah, that was a real test.
Yeah, it was a big one.
Don't.
That was your name.
Carry on.
You tossed that in there like that was just accepted. That's your nickname for yourself.
Did have someone take the Iron Maiden font and change it to Ian Maiden. Anyway, so...
And then there's a T-shirt.
Oh, we should get those.
Yeah.
So anyway, so it's about midnight, and I'm like, and it's one thing doing that, but can you do like Halford Streams? I'm like, get the video on now. So anyway, doing about 3 run-throughs of your live version of Green Man Alishi. Now on the screaming bit at the end,
testicle bit,
right? Yeah. Even though I'd been drinking all day, I felt something go, oh, I don't think that felt right. And then for the next 4 days, I had a croaky throat. And then for 2 months, no voice whatsoever.
Yeah. Oh, no. So you blame
Green Man Alishi, the high part, and then the weekend with the Marine.
Well, yeah, which is to blame that you went.
The Marine had gone by that point.
I don't know. He danced back and forth.
I think the Marine was on the beach.
The thing is, I've had a lot of anesthetic between now and then, so it's kind of gets hazy.
But
with
bottom
all
line
the,
is, you
blame
didn't,
the drugs. Always blame the drugs.
Always. Yeah. You didn't rest your voice after you felt the pop, so to speak, of the Marine or the singing. So to speak again.
So I've given up both.
Yeah, the Marine and
the
singing.
Celibate.
I've given up 3
You're
things.
Celibate and sober.
No, just the, no. No, just Marines.
You're a drag.
So,
get out of here.
It's sober October. Have you worn a dress, Ian? Yeah.
Have you ever worn a dress, Ian?
If
you have to think about it, the answer is yes. You're just thinking of how to tell.
No, he's trying to remember the dress.
I'm trying to remember the dress.
In the wardrobe, he has lots of dresses
in
his wardrobe.
Yeah, I don't think he's seen my wardrobe. He can attest. Yeah.
That there are some dresses.
Yeah. And right behind that, there's this giant sign poster that Rob gave me. And I'm like, yeah, but I've got a Halford poster behind that. They're like, that proves nothing.
That does nothing for your argument.
The Marine went away. I've given up. Right. I don't think I've given up Marines.
Well, no, not all of them.
Oh, God, no, we never do.
No, absolutely.
Do it for the troops, boys. What's the matter?
God bless America.
Yeah, absolutely. And no one says that more than me. No.
Spits.
I need to take a commercial. You two are, this is, it's gotten it's so British much. And gay in here.
I've literally only just walked in.
It's Ian's fault. We'll do that real quick. Oh, yeah. We got to do that now, don't we? We got to do a keyword. A vasectomy is our keyword, 97936. If you want to try to win a Camaro, vasectomy, 97936. We're talking. We'll do it till 10 o'clock. We're talking with Rob Halford, the metal god. And Ian has joined us once again, America's greatest morning show host, Ian Canfield. Doesn't have a morning show, but he's still the best host at it.
Oh, I need to talk to you about Cornish pasty as well, because they want you to go on the menu as well. They've got a good idea. You know, my sausage is coming to Cornish pasty.
And we'll take a break. We'll be right back. It's 98.
This is bad. Bad, bad, bad.
That's a joke, right? You're joking?